This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
This is The Morning Run. You're with Julian, Lynn and Sharitz, and we're looking at some major local business news. Two ministers are at loggerheads. Yeo Bi-in, the Minister of Energy, Science, Technology, Environment and Climate Change, or MESTEC, is arguing with Dato' Sri Mohamed Reza Mohamed Yusof, Minister of Entrepreneur Development, and one is saying that Linus can, the other saying Linus cannot. That's the summary. That's my summary of this tiff that's going on, this spat that's going on between them.
Yeah, I mean, you're not far off. So Yeo Bi-in is saying that Linus is compelled to ship out its waste products from the country. But Rezwan Yusof says the cabinet never decided on any such measures to manage Linus's waste. So for a little bit of background on Linus, it's currently facing problems obtaining license renewals for its operations in Malaysia after the government said last year that the firm must remove its radioactive waste from the country.
So the question of can and cannot is directed to the cabinet as well. And now that I think other ministries want to be involved, even Ministry of Trade is also in question. So the water leach purification solid waste, you know, they've accumulated at the Linus Advanced Material Plant since 2012 and reportedly totaled at about 450,000 tons as of December last year. So Linus is the only rare earth miner outside of China that has been operating in Kuantan since 2012. So what Rizwan is saying is that Linus waste does not need to be exported back to Australia unless it is very unsafe.
Okay, so this is just some radioactive waste that might not be unsafe. And so this guy is in the can camp. He's a very can-do guy because he also, apart from encouraging foreign direct investments in the form of toxic waste, also is promoting the third national car, right? The flying car.
The third national car,
but one step beyond the flying car of Malaysia.
Yes.
This is the very same guy.
It is the very same guy. And it makes me... So he commented on his use of the words very unsafe. It makes me think, so if it's just a little bit unsafe, it's all right.
It's fine if it's... yeah.
And let's also not forget that the waste that we're talking about here is 450,000 tons of it as of December last year. And if you need a point of reference, that's about 20 times heavier than the Statue of Liberty. So you
and
just
450,000 elephants.
Something like that,
yeah.
I think.
Look, if the French can transport the Statue of Liberty to from France to the US, it's fine for Linus to dump 450,000 tons of toxic waste here in Kuantan.
Yeah, but the issue is that because the limit that has been set for Linus is 20,000, and I think is the constant application for leniency is what people are questioning. And so the ministry has written to, you know, so as a result, in the Ministry of Energy, Science and Technology of Environment and Climate Change, Deputy Minister Isna Raisa Munira said in Dewan Rakyat saying that they have written to the counterpart in Australia to collaborate on the transfer of Linus waste before September.
Yeah, so this is really a case of, in fact, incidentally, Fuzia Saleh, who's MP for Kuantan itself, asked Rezwan to really shut it, not so many words, because he has no local standout in this. So this is really a discussion about whether it's FDI at all costs, and also it's about the optics of Pakatan Harapan, whether they can get their act together in coming up with one unified message.
It's terrible optics because, you know, up until this point, they've already received so much criticism for not being able to get their messaging straight. I think the case a little while ago was over the ECRL. Is it cancelled? Is it not? What's going on? So now we have Linus, and clearly they haven't learned from the criticism that's been levelled against them. But for me, it's also a case of why is Rezwan Yusof commenting on this? Because he's the Entrepreneur Development Minister. This is a waste disposal issue. It should fall solidly under the remit of Yeo Bi-in.
Okay, this is another guy who certainly have gotten working on his message, and that is ex-PM Dato Sri Najib Razak, who has refuted claims that he owes the IRB $1.5 billion because that comes from foreign donations, and that's not open to taxes.
Yes, so Najib explained his reasoning. He said that additionally, he was the guardian of the UMNO party's funds and all transactions were for the party's sake. So political parties like charitable organisations are not required to pay income tax. Now, of course, yesterday, The Edge Financial Daily reported that according to sources, IRB investigations assessed that Najib did not declare a taxable income of close to 4 billion ringgit.
So this income, it includes about 2.6 billion found in this personal account, which local and US authorities says that it is originating from 1MDB. But Najib is maintaining it was political donation from the Saudi Arabian government.
All right, to get a better understanding of how donations are treated under our tax laws, we speak to Dr. Varinderjit Singh, who is chairman of XL Asia. Good morning, Varinderjit. I'm just going to ask a direct question here. Are donations subject to income tax?
The answer to that is not precise, because the issue is, at the end of the day, is irrelevant to whether something is a donation or something else, whatever name you might call it. The issue at the end of the day is what you received meant to be for certain services to be rendered. And so if you are receiving something, whether it's from overseas or from local sources, and it is in relation to something that you're doing, then there is an element of nexus between the amount received and the service that you render or expected to render. So when you use the word donations, I think you go to drill down to the details about what exactly is this amount about, what is it for, and trying to come to a landing as to the linkage between that and what you are expected from you by whoever is the person who contributed it to you. So that's really the crux of determining taxability.
Now, what if the funds or donations come from foreign sources? So does this make a difference?
Now, there are people who interpret this to mean that if something is derived wholly from outside Malaysia, automatically it is not taxable. Now, that's not absolutely true. The issue, again, is back to this issue about what is it that you are getting and for what are you getting it given to you. So if it's for services or some work that you have to render and all of it is done within or primarily done within Malaysia, then there is a nexus and therefore the taxability of that amount could well be in Malaysia. So it's no precise answers, but you go back to the facts and the rationale and the linkages between the amounts that are coming in and what is it meant to be.
So in this kind of cases, why doesn't the IRB press charges for tax evasion straight away?
First step is always about when they determine that there is some receipt of an amount, whatever that amount is. They first of all become aware of it. Then the question is taxability of that, and then going through the process of actually getting the facts and then imposing a tax first. That's the way it goes. You don't go into tax evasion because you go to prove tax evasion. You actually impose a tax upon knowing it, right? So indirectly, the person may not have declared this when it should have been declared. So indirectly, that's already evasion. But it is always imposed by way of an assessment and penalties on top of the assessment. So if you go for a prosecution under the tax evasion provisions, then you're looking at jail sentences and heavier penalties, and that will take a while through the court process. So normally the best way forward is to assess first and then wait for the taxpayer to fight it out and perhaps take it on appeal to the courts and let the courts decide if there is some legitimate reasons why the particular assessment was incorrect or not correct by under law and so on and so forth. So that's the normal process you would go through in taxing with such amounts.
And that was Dr. Varinderjit Singh, chairman of XL Asia, and a tax expert helping us to decide whether this Najib's earnings are taxable or not. And I guess the main quote that's coming from here is that the issue at the end of the day is what you receive meant for certain services to be rendered.
Yeah, so it is the intention of the donation, I suppose. So I guess now what's required is for the IRB to come out with their justification for saying that Najib did not declare his income and this is taxable. Tell us why you think it is taxable.
Because this is an amount that goes way back from 2011, isn't it? I mean, 2011, and of course the donation comes in just before the election 2013. And up to 2017. So we're talking about 6 years worth of tax that is not declared by Najib. And again, that's why it's a bit of a surprise that it is presented as a tax bill rather than an evasion of tax. I mean,
yeah, I think there's a very thin line between what a donation is and income, right? Mm-hmm. If you really want to go further as well, in fact, the Entrepreneur Development Minister, Rezwan Yusuf, should support this because this is some kind of an FDI, right? Effectively, it's an FDI because it came from Saudi Arabia, billions and billions of dollars off that.
But a lot of it was returned.
Was it? Okay.
Yes.
Yeah. All right. Reverse FDI. Okay. We'll be coming with some stock market news after that, after the 9 a.m. news. BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.